This podcast is proudly brought to you by Solar Heart Sydney, the most trusted name in solar with over 70 years of experience on Sydney's rooftops. This is a Hope 103.2 podcast.
And the Oscar goes to...
Please, be kind, especially when we don't know what's going on.
So what I got?
Movies are dreams that you never forget.
All right, are we ready? Welcome to the watch list. This is Russ Matthews with Real Dialogue, and joining me is my wonderful host, Laura Bennett. How
Hello.
Are you today, Laura?
Yes, doing very well. I wish I was cool enough to be talking about this movie, but I think I said this at the time when the premiere happened in Sydney. It was like all of the bike rider styling, all of the leather jackets. I'm like, this is a movie that's going to make me feel very uncool, but I'm going to pretend that I am.
That's right. Well, that was my question for you. I was kind of curious, did it make you want to get on a motorcycle and just kind of go riding off into the sunset, as it were, with especially if Austin Butler was riding along with you?
Look, my grandparents had a farm, and so my bike riding career began and ended in my teen years on their property.
Very
and
cool.
This is probably not going to sound like the right thing, but I'm way better holding on and letting somebody else drive and I'll scream for dear life than being the person actually driving it. No,
right.
No one wants me to be in charge of the motorbike. You right. drive, I'll scream. And I don't even know, I haven't fact checked this, but does Austin Butler actually ride motorbikes, or is it all like a stunt double and he's just held on the back of a trailer looking cool?
No, he actually did ride. He did ride. But if you noticed that when at the premiere, they had the bikey gang come up, but he actually pulled up in a van. So, I mean, it shows that I don't think it's something he does regularly, but he actually did ride for the sake of the film.
Well, you've got to look after your actors. Like, I think it was for one of the Bourne Legacy with Jeremy Renner. He actually pulled up outside the State Theatre on a
right.
motorbike, only for 10 meters or so, but he got definite cool points for doing that. So Austin Butler missed out.
He did. He definitely did. I mean, it was a rainy night, but it was definitely cool, man. When you heard those Harleys pulling up, it was hard to miss it, what was going on. And so, everybody, that's what we're really talking about here today. We're talking about the bike riders, and that's not necessarily the Tour de France. This is actually motorcycles, and we're going back in history. So this is a fascinating one. That it's based on a journalist and photographer named Danny Lyon. He actually studied the Outlaws Motorcycle Club out of Chicago back in the 1960s. And his story has been kind of brought to life by Jeff Nichols, writer and director Jeff Nichols, who takes Lyon's work and kind of reimagines how this pictorial account of these bikers would be. And so this is a fascinating one with Tom Hardy, Jamie Comer, Austin Butler, and all kind of brought in to kind of be this bike gang or bike club, as it were, and kind of how it, I don't know, you could say almost devolved throughout history, but also kind of shows us kind of what we even have with our modern day kind of bikey gang in a way, in so many ways. So this is a fascinating one. I look forward to kind of hear what you think of it. This is definitely not Fast and the Furious on motorcycles. This is definitely more of an independent film. So I'm curious what you thought of it, Laura, right from the get-go.
Well, that aspect you bring up about it being more of an independent film, that's what stood out to me in the way that it was styled. So yes, it's got really big names and it's got an interesting story, but I think because it premiered as part of the Sydney Film Festival here, which I think was a really right. suitable fit for it, because unlike some of the other massive franchises, you mentioned one of the greatest of all time, of course, Fast and Furious. This
movie, bring it up for you. I brought it up.
This movie had the potential to, I suppose, what's the word? Capitalize on a Sons of Anarchy type audience, right?
Right.
But it didn't really do that. It tried to be a little bit more art house in how it delivered this story, even in the way that the journalist looks into this particular club. It's almost like a diary. Like, you see each of the different characters, you hear a bit of their story. Jamie Comer's character is narrating it. Hello. So we did realize after recording this that we spent the episode calling Jodie Comer Jamie Comer for the majority. Apologies for that. Don't know where our brains were at, but please carry on and pretend we're saying Jodie. And it's
right.
it's got a more documentary style to it almost than what I was really hoping and expected for, sure. or rather what I was hoping for and expected from the trailer. But that I'm not against an art house sensibility at all. I do really like that in some contexts, but I do think for the fans of Tom Hardy, for the fans of Austin Butler, who are going to watch this
Elvis,
movie.
Just say it. It's
right,
Elvis.
Right, right, anyway, of Elvis. This movie, I don't think is going to be what those particular fans are looking for. It actually, just now, what it makes me think of is way back when I was a massive Heath Ledger fan, and he did. I watched him in, you know, 10 Things I Hate About You, A Knight's Tale, and everything. And then he went and did Lords of Dogtown, and I went and watched it because I love Heath Ledger. And then Lords of Dogtown was like this totally left turn from what I'd come to know and love from him, which as an actor, for sure, go for it. But I do think, yeah, some of the fan base will be a little bit unsure about where this movie's, what this movie's doing once they actually go in to watch it.
I think that's a great way to kind of look at it and kind of open up the discussion on it, because it will kind of depend on your what you're really going for. So if you're going for, say, Jeff Nichols, which I really love him as a director, he directed Midnight Special, Mud, Loving, and he's a phenomenal independent filmmaker. And so he tends to make a little bit these kind of more docudramas. They're definitely kind of darker and edgier in a certain way. So if you love his style of storytelling, you're probably going to love this film. And I think that that's one of the things that probably stands out, depending on how far you want to go into it. Now, if you're going to watch Elvis on a motorcycle because of Austin Butler, and you're thinking that this is going to be some sort of action thing, not so much. I don't think, I mean, I think he was there for eye candy, but it really wasn't his film. He's front and center of the poster, but I really think this is Jamie Comer and Tom Hardy's film. Mm. And then that's the other level, because I really look forward to talking about this, about Tom, because Tom also, he's a method actor. He goes into his character. He doesn't necessarily kind of play typical Tom Hardy, just like, oh, that's Tom Hardy. Oh, yeah, definitely. That's him. He puts on different voices. He kind of tries different characters. And this one is a fascinating one, because it really shows he has charisma, the charisma that he needs to kind of lead this bike club. But then in a way, also there's kind of a softer side to him in a certain way that you kind of have to look at. And then that voice is always kind of an interesting challenge to kind of look at. And then Jamie Comer is the narrator, which, you know what, for a British actress to pull off the Midwestern accent was actually pretty good. Felt like it was a little bit more Minnesota than it was Illinois, but that's okay. But that's just
me. You'll know. You'll be able to pull that apart.
I'll be able to know. But I thought she was great, because she really kind of helped to kind of thread the whole story together. And I think that's what they really needed. That's what Jamie gave.
Yeah, but it kind of bothered me. I don't know whether it was just expectation versus reality with this movie, but I much prefer for a film to tell me the story, like show me the action and let me put the pieces together. Whereas because this was narrated, I felt like that got in the way. Like, yes, it was because it was, based on a book and it was this, you know, journalistic kind of experience. But
sure.
I thought you're telling me the story. Just let me watch it. Like, let me experience life in this bikey gang, as opposed to trying to take me through certain sections of it.
Right. Oh, I thought, oh, that's fascinating. Cause that'd be a really interesting way. Cause it really was. I mean, this one is a docudrama that's really pretty much Jamie Comer narrating the whole story, kind of going through from beginning to end, kind of really what started as just kind of a club, guys getting together for bikes, beers, and brawls, and that and it ends up turning into what we know as, you know, with so many different things as far as organized crime and the different things that have gone on with it, that it was a fascinating thing, very subtle, kind of how it just kind of traveled down that path and was significant, especially how it concluded, how it kind of changed from the beginning to the end. But yeah, so it's kind of looking at it from a narration standpoint, I could see how that could kind of get in the way. I thought that she did a great job. I thought that it was also, on top of it, even Austin Butler talked about the fact that his character in the book, the photo book, really didn't know anything about him. So they're just kind of making this all up, even though she was the one that they were actually talking to, his wife, who's what they were talking about. And so they kind of had to put a little bit of substance on him, even though really Austin Butler doesn't really talk a lot. I mean, he's pretty much just all action. He's riding his motorcycle. He's, you know, running away from the police. He's getting into fights, and then he tries to do all that he can
and
to
that's
be
why
some sort of husband.
There's holes in this, right? Like, Jamie Comer does a great job narrating. I just didn't like it. I just didn't like that they did that. But then even, you know, Austin Butler's character, he's meant to be the anchor of this movie, and it's meant to be his decision to be in this bikie gang and then to stay in this bikie gang to maybe or maybe not take the top job in the gang that is supposed to draw you in and really compel you into like the heart of the story. But then they didn't. Maybe it is because there wasn't enough about the backstory of that character, that person in real life, that they didn't really to me, they didn't really deliver on that, because it's like there's meant to be, particularly between his character and Tom Hardy's, it's like there's meant to be this brotherhood, this bond that kind of shapes every decision that's made within the club and that's meant to be determining, you know, why things matter so much and why they don't. But that wasn't really thick enough for me. Like I didn't feel like the relationship between the two of them was a compelling enough reason for certain things to feel high stakes or not. Like, it's like you've not really explained to me why this would be so compelling. And then even, you know, you brought up Tom Hardy. I love him as an actor. I just really respect some of the choices that he makes. But I think it's funny in this because he's classic Tom Hardy in the sense that he's just big and gruff and he grunts and he's an actor that can say so much by just kind of mumbling and like looking. Sure. But it's like he sort of sits somewhere between, if you remember the character he played in Lawless, where it's like, I can tell you've got a heart, but I can tell you get into challenging situations because it's like you've got this ethic that not everybody else lives by, so you get sort of double-crossed because of your ethic in the way you think the world works. But then more recently, we've really enjoyed Tom Hardy in something like Venom, where he's a little bit more charismatic and you see a little bit more of his sparkle. And so this movie, it was like, this isn't Tom Hardy at his best because he's just kind of relying on the gruff and the mumbles and it works. But I know there's more in there that I didn't really feel like we got to kind of enjoy in this movie. So,
hi, it's Georgia here. Just quickly interrupting this episode to tell you about another podcast that you'll love called Finding Hope. If you are just fed up with the negative news headlines and you want someone to tell you it's gonna be okay, Finding Hope is for you. Join me each episode as I sit down with incredible people who have been through trials and tribulations but have found hope along the way. This season, I talked to an academic who was wrongfully imprisoned in Myanmar for 2 years, a former heroin addict who now helps others through addiction and recovery, and a missionary doctor who's saved tens of thousands of lives in Africa. That's all to come on the newest season of Finding Hope with Georgia Free. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
I think I found this movie, The Bike Riders, probably a little bit more disappointing overall than I did satisfying. But that's not to say it doesn't have some good bits, because what were the things that really stood out to you, like the big talking points of this film?
Well, before we go into that, because there are some really big talking points, but listening to you, and I definitely can appreciate what you're saying as far as, especially there's not much dialogue. I mean, it is pretty much just visceral, kind of them riding their motorcycles, they're doing a bunch of different things. But I think that's actually one of the things that Jeff Nichols actually is able to tap into. And this is kind of that male, we don't really talk a lot.
say a lot without saying anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's really pretty much, we kind of let our actions kind of speak for it. And this isn't going at the male-female divide thing as much as it is. Just I think that that's what he's really tapping into, especially those that would get together and kind of form a motorcycle club. They're there just to ride motorcycles. I mean, they could talk about their feelings. They could talk about, you know, kind of how life is going and all that sort of thing. But I think most of them, that's really not the purpose of why they're getting together. Mm-hmm. They're there to play pool. They're there to kind of take it easy, kind of have a break from life. Because that's really clubs are just kind of meant to be escapism in a way for them. And so that's really what it was, even though it escalated into something more as far as some of the violence and some of the things that kind of ended up happening throughout the film. But I felt that that's something that they really did tap into. And that's something I probably did appreciate about this story, was that it really just kind of showed the very visceral, kind of straightforward, this is just kind of guys getting together doing this. But I think that's one of the things, this goes back to your question though, is that I see the value of community and the importance of community. But see, one of the challenges is that if it doesn't have a purpose that's kind of beyond them, it just kind of devolve into something that is not as good as what it was meant to be at the beginning. And so I think that that's really what this film really did a great job of, is showing what was meant to just be kind of guys getting together, just riding motorcycles and having fun. Well, all of a sudden it evolved into something really worse than it meant to be. And so I think that not having much of a purpose or meaning to it. So, it, you know, you go from, like I was saying, the bikies, the beer and the brawling, to all of a sudden, if you were to have something like motorcycles and meaning, which I know that most people probably don't want to do, but I really think that looking at having God at the center of it and be able to kind of how we'd be able to kind of bring it and have a little bit more purpose, have it, some altruism that kind of goes with it. I see so many great examples of motorcycle clubs that actually do go out and actually give to children's programs and actually do represent God or even Jesus in a certain way. So there are some really great examples out there, but this one definitely showed that it can actually turn into something else if it doesn't really have a purpose at the middle of it that goes beyond just riding motorcycles together.
And I think it really pointed to a conversation around belonging to me, because I think, you know, this is not Wild Hogs. This is not like a bunch of dudes just enjoying bike riding together. Like, to me, that is that's fun, right? That to me speaks about what you're talking about. Guys getting together, hanging out, and like girls can be in on this too, of course, but this movie's in the context of these guys. But I think, you know, there's something to be said for why in the context of this movie, it got to the point where these guys were willing to give their life for it. You know, that's what...
Right.
Which, that's not a spoiler, that's just the conversation that comes up, you know, because there's a kind of allegiance that being part of these bicycle clubs, you know, there's a kind of allegiance that being part of these bikie clubs really fosters.
Right.
But to the point where you're willing to be involved in criminal activity, to the point where you're willing to, yes, potentially give up your life for this thing, to the point where you're willing to attack others, that was what, there was a bit of a hole in this movie around for me. Because I thought I can theoretically understand why people need that sense of belonging and understand that concept, but it just wasn't fleshed out well or brought to life well in this movie for me, because I thought you're asking a lot of these characters, but you've not really explained what they're benefiting from by, or what the benefit is to them by being part of this club. Like, yes, they got other guys to hang out with, but I didn't feel the depth of their connection enough to believe that these people would do some of the things that they did. Like, The most believable, engaging character to me in this whole movie is actually played by an Aussie guy named Toby Wallace, who I remember watching in The Royal Hotel, but he's done a bunch of other things. He plays a character called The Kid, who has, literally in one scene, we understand that he has a really rough home environment, and getting into this club is the thing that's going to give him a sense of power, belonging, connectedness, authority. Like, you instantly understand why he wants in on this club and why he's willing to do some of the things he does to get there. All of the other characters, I just thought, I don't really know enough about you to feel like the allegiances here are as powerful as you're wanting us to believe they are. And maybe that's just me, somebody who's never been part of a biking club before. But
Neither have I.
I just was like, I don't understand why you guys care as much as it seems like you do.
I think that there is a lot that is actually unspoken that's kind of underneath the surface that you really kind of have to fill in for yourself. And that's probably a really great point. Especially, it's interesting too that they had a female voice actually being the narrator throughout this whole story, that really somebody kind of who's on the outside of this whole component was really a fascinating way to be able to kind of layer this in and really be able to kind of show what this gang was or this club was all about. And so I agree with you. I think that it really was about community or belonging, but also that not having something kind of morally right at the center of it to really kind of make it represent more than just kind of getting together and riding motorcycles. Mm-hmm. That's when things just kind of fell over on themselves. I think that, it definitely didn't have a whole lot of dialogue, but I think you do have to manage your expectations. Mm-hmm. This is definitely not Fast and the Furious, even though I know that you were kind of hoping maybe it was, but
I wanted Sons of Anarchy, to be honest. I was ready for Sons of Anarchy with Elvis and Venom, and I didn't get it.
That's right. Yeah. And so, so I think that that's what you really have to kind of know going into this film is if you want to enjoy the bike riders, it's one that you really manage your expectation of who it is, what you're kind of going to see. This is based on a book of pictures that they really added in a narrative to kind of add to it. And so as far as if you enjoy art house films, if you enjoy kind of films like Jeff Nichols' style, you're going to love it. I think, though, that this is definitely not going to hit with every audience member that's out there. But it would definitely go on my watch list. I'm kind of curious what it would do for yours, Laura.
I think it's an optional watch list. If you are a super fan, because I wouldn't, if I'd missed this movie, I wouldn't have minded, right? Like, I don't think, you lose anything by not seeing this movie, but I do think there is beneficial conversation to have about belonging, what we'll do to belong, what we'll sacrifice to belong, and what kind of things feed our sense of identity. That's all there in this. So there's some really worthwhile things, but I don't think, just from a purely enjoyable, entertaining film perspective, I don't think that Bike Ride is rated as high for me as some others.
There you go. There you go. Great. Optional watch list. So that's one for Laura today. So, well, great. Well, hey, you know what? I love this conversation. I love the fact, too, that we didn't necessarily agree completely, but that we definitely can kind of come to kind of looking at the bike riders and kind of seeing the opportunity for the bike riders. And so, hey, we want to say thank you so much for coming along to the watch list. We kind of come to the end of this. And my name is Russ Matthews, and this is Laura Bennett from Hope 103.2. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Also, you can check out the watch list as well as Hope 103.2 on YouTube and the channel there. So it's available there. Also, you can check out reviews at realdialogue.com as well as Hope 103.2. Make sure you're checking all of those out. And so we hope that you have enjoyed the podcast, and we look forward to talking to you the next time. And make sure you get out and ride your motorcycle. Get out and enjoy some wind in the hair. And we'll hope to see you next time on the watch list.
Bye.
Podcast is proudly brought to you by Solar Heart Sydney. Book your obligation-free in-home appointment with the most trusted name in solar. Visit solarheartsydney.com.au.